trouble you for a warm glass of
shut the hell up.
You can't handle the truth.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
We're on a mission from God.
The first rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club. The second rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club.
Hello, hello, internet listeners. You're with the Entertainment Center once again, Pop Culture Network's source for television and movie news and reviews, all from around the entertainment world. Big week this week with the San Diego Comic-Con and Captain America opening. Two things we're going to talk about in a little bit more detail. First off, I want to thank Pop Culture Network for keeping us on the air and letting us provide all you listeners out there with all the important stuff we like to talk about every week. I'm your host, Jonathan Leonard. You are again with the Entertainment Center. As always, we're going to start off with just some happenings around the world of entertainment. Not a lot coming out of Comic-Con that I've seen so far. I know a lot of the stuff they keep kind of exclusive for a little while. So the news tidbits, though, you usually hear right away. I've heard of some cool footage coming out and stuff like that. I guess they showed a trailer for The Amazing Spider-Man that actually shows off the Lizard. We haven't seen that yet. We've just heard some details on the reports, but usually there's a little bit more news coming out than there seems to be this year, unless I'm just missing some stuff so far. It's quite possible, being so fresh, that I just haven't found some of it, but as far as it goes, they had a lot of neat panels. Joss Whedon was out there talking about the Avengers. They had some Spider-Man panels. Lots of just general television and movie stuff going on, but not a whole lot that I'm hearing that I've never heard before, news-wise. Marvel did release sketches for, I think there were seven of them, for a lot of the main players for the Avengers movie coming out next year. They had a Hulk, a Hawkeye, a Captain America, an Iron Man, a Thor, some S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, and a Black Widow. I think that's all of them. They're all artist renditions. They're concept art, so it's not actual photos of these guys in costumes, but the drawings are of the actual actors and stuff. I saw them all over at Superhero Hype. I'm sure you can click over there. They'll have them up on their news section for at least another couple of days, I would imagine. Pretty neat pictures for the most part. Not that I can complain too much about. The new Captain America costume looks pretty good. A little bit more modern take, more superhero Captain America, and a little bit less Army Soldier Captain America, which I think the Army Soldier one was great and it fit for the 40s movie. I think the new one works a lot better for what they're doing with the Avengers, so really happy about that overall. That's some neat stuff. But again, beyond that, there's just not nearly as much actual reportable news that I've heard coming out of Comic-Con. And like I said, my finger hasn't been quite on the pulse of the community as in touch as it often is this last week, so maybe I've missed some stuff. I'll do a lot more research coming into next week, and if there are any big announcements that I haven't caught, I'll certainly come back to it and reassess then. And I'll also talk to Scotty Cash and Pixel Dan and some of the guys who were actually out in San Diego once they're back, and see what they say, see if they caught any big news that I've missed. And of course, the con isn't even quite finished yet, so who knows? Who knows what else is to come, but not much. They're in the wrapping up phases, at least, as of this taping. So Captain America was the big winner for the box office this weekend. That's good news. I'll give you a little bit more detail on some of those numbers later. Sad news from around the world of entertainment. Amy Winehouse has passed this weekend. I personally was not a big fan of her music. I didn't dislike it per se. I heard a couple of songs on hers on the radio. None of them particularly moved me. From everything I've read, and this is even before she died, she seemed to be well respected as an artist. I don't know. I can't be too sad when I can't be too surprised, you know? They haven't stated what she died of, but I'm sure it's drug-related, and everybody else is jumping to that conclusion, too. Most of the Rest in Peace tweets, you can go out and find all the celebrities talking about it, and most of them are bringing up drug issues, and that's their speculative cause. It's just, I mean, it's sad when any life passes, and my heart definitely goes out to her family and friends and, you know, all of the people she's put through this stuff, but clean your act up, you know? I mean, when you know it's coming, when you know you're that deep into it, there's ways out, especially when you have the means that a lot of these artists have. There's a lot more people affected by her actions than just her, or the actions of any of these people, so it just makes me sad in general. That's the biggest news by far of the weekend, of course, with a celebrity passing, it always is. And again, you can look around the internet and find tweets and comments from everyone ranging from Katy Perry to Reba McEntire to Boy George. They're all out there. Check Twitter feeds and just check recaps. Everybody's kind of weighing in on the thought process. So, of course, as I said, our hearts go out to her family and friends. Just a tragic turn of events, I guess. Moving on to happier news, though. There was a report from Glee's creator and showrunner a couple of weeks ago that three of its biggest stars would be leaving after this next season. I guess the show, bear in mind, I haven't caught up with any of Glee, so I know a lot of you out there are big fans of it. I know it's a huge show. It's one of those casualties of watching too much TV. It looked like a show I would really like, but I didn't think it would last. I really didn't. So I didn't want to watch 6 or 7 episodes of something and just fall, you know, head over heels in love with it and then have it go away. So I kind of skipped on watching it. I figured I'd pick it up if it ended up being a hit. It did end up being a hit, and I just haven't found the time to catch up with it yet. I know Pixel Dan keeps telling me I should. He enjoys it quite a bit. I just haven't taken the time. Will eventually. Anyways, getting back to the news. Three of its biggest stars, they were saying the show had started and they were sophomores, so by the time they graduated as seniors, the showrunner wanted them off the show. Wanted them done with it just to keep with the realism going. Well, they had a Glee panel out at Comic-Con that is a bit of news that came out, and the studio was there saying that those stars will not be leaving. They are all under contract. They have no intention of letting them all go. So I'm not sure what the storyline will be or if there will be any kind of comeback from the show's commander-in-chief. I'm not sure if everybody's on the same page or what's going on there. It's kind of coming out piece by piece, so it's a little weird. However, we'll see what happens there, but it looks like your favorite singing high schoolers will be around in some capacity or another as the show continues. Look for it to definitely get picked up for a couple more seasons. I know it had a big drop-off in season 2, but not a big enough one for worry. I'm not getting the impression that it's turning into a Heroes or anything where they had one solid idea that got them through a season and then just turned into garbage. I think some of the flash of the show has maybe worn off and it's kind of settling in, but it's still getting plenty of viewers to stay around for a while, so expect there to be more seasons past 3, and apparently expect these kids to all stay involved for a while. There is one character played by Cord Overstreet. I don't see the character's name here. Apparently he was in last season, and they had offered him an option to return for at least 10 more episodes with the possibility of becoming series regular, but he has passed on that offer in favor of taking up other opportunities. So Cord Overstreet will not be returning to the show, but Lea Michele and Chris Colfer and Corey Monteith will all be returning for season 4. Let's talk about some of those box office numbers, as I promised earlier. Captain America, a lot of people didn't know if it was going to beat out Harry Potter. Harry Potter had such a huge opening 3-day weekend. Harry Potter became the 5th movie in history to make it to $200 million in 5 days. So everybody, I think, was expecting another huge weekend for Harry Potter. It wasn't a bad one, certainly, but it was a huge drop-off for the movie. One of the bigger ones in I don't know if I should say movie history, but of these top earners, the record breakers that are up there that it's going against, the Dark Knights and the Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, the Spider-Man, some of those who hit the huge three-day numbers, Harry Potter had a much steeper decline than them. However, don't count that as audience reaction or anything. It's a very popular movie. A lot of people like it. It's very well reviewed. A lot of it simply stems from how many people came out on midnight to watch it when it debuted on Thursday. That smashed the midnight record for a movie by $15 million. It was over a 50% increase from the previous winner, which I think at the time was The Dark Knight. Everybody wanted to see how this ended, so everybody came out in droves to check it out. If you pull, I think the movie had a 60-some percent drop. 72%. A 72% drop, which, as I said, was far more severe than a lot of these other record breakers. But if you take the midnight show out of that equation, the drop was significantly reduced percentage-wise. So, again, that's just to show you, everybody was trying to get out there to be the first to see how the story ends, and the repeat business wasn't quite as big because it kind of settled into a normal movie numbers after that. So that huge Thursday helped them a lot on winning the three-day weekend. It's hurt them a lot on perception as far as the percent drop. So it dropped down to somewhere in the 40s this weekend. Captain America raked in 65.8, it looks like. Now, this is very early. This is the early estimate, so this could change a little bit by the time Monday's final numbers come out. Excuse me for the pause there. Throat's getting a little dry. I need to get some water over here. Anyways, Captain America looks to be the biggest superhero movie of the summer, justifiably in my opinion. I think it's probably, spoiler alert for the end of the show, when I get to my big review of Captain America, I think it's probably the best superhero movie I've seen since at least 08. Hugely entertaining film. So it only beat, and this is as far as estimates again, we'll have more official word come Monday. The show was taped a little bit early, though, so it'll be next week before I can talk about this. Thor took in $65.7 million. Captain America is estimated at $65.8 million. So it is barely narrowing out Thor for the biggest superhero movie of the summer. It's beating X-Men First Class and Green Lantern by $12 or $13 million, something like that. So no competition with those, but it does look neck and neck with its Marvel predecessor that opened this summer. It seems to be a far better reviewed movie than Thor, though Thor was a well-reviewed one as well. People seem to like Thor, they just, you know, they took it with a grain of salt as being a little weak on story, but heavy on entertainment, so still enjoyable. Captain America is a more thoroughly rounded movie. Better character development, better overall storyline, very well acted. And these are all coming through. These aren't even my words. These are all what's coming through on the reviews. And that's also exit polling. People coming in and out of that movie are loving it. Repeat views are already up from what I've heard. I know several people who have seen it a couple of times. I myself have already seen it a couple of times, and I'm planning at least two more trips. And that's just a, you know, already set planning. I'm sure there will be more after that. I really enjoyed this movie. So, that's the big winner for the box office this week. Hopefully those numbers will hold up. We won't see too much of a drop next week, I'm hoping. Once it goes up against Cowboys and Aliens, I don't think it'll win that second weekend or anything. I just want to make sure the numbers stay high, just because I enjoyed the movie so much. And it's always good when good films are rewarded with success. There was a lot of talk going into the Avengers. The better these movies do leading up to it, the better, of course, you can assume the Avengers itself is going to do. So here's hoping for good things for that next year. I'm going to take this as a time to wrap up the new segment of the show. We're going to come back, as always, after this first commercial break here. Pay attention to these advertisements for some other PopCultureNetwork.com podcasts and entertainment whatnots. Really good shows on this site, guys. Go check out all the other ones. Videos and podcasts all alike. Keep an eye out on PopCultureNetwork.com for all the stuff you love. Comics, toys, movies, video games, movies and TV, obviously. All of these things. So take a gander at these commercials, come back afterwards, and we'll talk a little bit of TV. Stay tuned.
You're listening to a podcast on PopCultureNetwork.com. Be sure to head on over to the site at www.PopCultureNetwork.com to check out more podcasts and videos featuring toys, comic books, video games, and all the things you love. And while you're there, be sure to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you purchase helps to keep us producing. Just head over to PopCultureNetwork.com and click on Store.
What it is, friends. Sween Holic here, inviting you to join me every Monday for Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. What's that, you ask? Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk is my weekly video series in which we take a look at my favorite toy line of yesteryear, Vintage Playmates Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you're a green teen goer, I'm betting you'll have a great time getting reacquainted with old friends or meeting new ones for the first time. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk at www.radicalretro.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
And we're back. Thanks for sticking with us through that commercial break. We are with the Entertainment Center on PopCultureNetwork.com. Pop Culture Network, of course, being your number one source on the internet for everything you love. Make sure you check out the rest of the website and the store. A lot of cool stuff going around. We're here to talk about television in this segment. Not a whole lot to going on this week, though. I probably should have saved my Glee news for here, but I got to talking about Comic-Con, I got on that train of thought, and out it came. As far as actual television watching going, keeping up with the same shows I've been watching over the summer. Necessary Roughness, I'm fully caught up on through this week, the new USA show. You've heard me talk about, it's about a sports psychiatrist. Helping out a football team and other, you know, variety sports clients through some of its troubles. Decent show. You know, the more I watch it, if it weren't a summer show, I don't think I'd stick with it. Right now, I got a pretty light slate. I'm only watching about four or five shows, and it's an entertaining show. It's certainly not bad. But I don't think if I were watching a fall schedule where I'm watching, you know, 10, 15, 20 shows, whatever it is, every week, I don't think it would be anywhere near making the cut. It just kind of, it's got that freak of the week feel to it sometimes, which is a term you'll use for more, you know, action or horror-oriented shows where you have a new bad guy every week for the heroes to face. And in this case, the bad guy is the psychosis of certain people, but they kind of combine that concept and that, you know, that general medical concept where you're watching a doctor show and at the end something completely off the subject reminds them of a word that reminds them of the cure. But like on this last episode, somebody said something about getting even towards the end of the show. The doctor, Dr. Danny, the main character of the show, had been dealing with a football player playing for the team she works for that had been showing up late to practices or sometimes not at all, and they were getting close to cutting him. And he's a real timid kid, even though he's a big guy. And she's talking to him, trying to get into his family and this and that and blah, 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 whatever. And they get to the end of the show, somebody says something about getting even or something along those lines, and she has that epiphany moment where she's like, even, of course. And somehow that little snippet of a completely separate conversation she was having with someone else clued her into the fact that the kid had obsessive compulsive disorder. She just knew that.
and through one or two conversations with him, had all but cured it. And it's television. You give it its stretch, obviously. Most of these shows aren't all that realistic. It just seems so forced and formulaic, and it seems like it doesn't really work with psychosis. I mean, it's not like, you know, medical conditions, a lot of them can be that quick. You know, you can discover the cause of an illness, treat it with the proper medicine, and watch it go away fairly fast. Obsessive compulsive disorder that has been continuously becoming a growing burden for, you know, 23 years of life or however old this kid was, you don't just switch that around by pointing out that someone has it and telling them to stop. It just seems like it's a little too much, you know, that kind of thing. So maybe it'll find its legs. I'm certainly not saying it's a bad show by any means, but as far as all the other USA shows I've ever seen, it's coming up a little bit short on believability, maybe is the right word, maybe just straight-up entertainment value. It's not the knock-out-of-the-park hit that a lot of them are. Suits I'm a big fan of. I'm a week behind as we go here. You know, what I've been doing is I've been watching a lot of Monk with my wife, actually, and that's a lot of fun. There's been a lot of TV shows I've watched with groups of friends or groups of people or anything like that. Me and a couple of friends went through all the Buffy's and Angels. I know me and my dad watched every episode of Boston Legal and several other TV shows through history. It's always fun having somebody to take that journey with when you're watching episode by episode with someone else at the same time, so you can kind of share the joy out of the shows, and people will get your references when you talk about the episodes later, that kind of thing. It's always a joy. I don't think I've ever actually done it with a detective show before, and this is kind of neat. We're about halfway through season two, a little bit over halfway through, and it's funny because I've seen all these episodes before, but it's been several years, especially on the early seasons. And so these things will start, and I'll remember that the episode exists. I'll have no clue what's going on with the mystery again somehow. I'll have forgotten it, and my wife is just the coolest chick. She's just sitting there on the couch pegging stuff left and right, like, right, you know, in the first 5 minutes of the episode, she always has half of it figured out by the time that comes along. And she's just lapping me, just trumping me on this stuff, and I've seen the episodes. But going through with a mystery show with a partner is a lot of fun, having somebody to watch it with, because you get to sit there and try to figure out what's going on. You get to bounce ideas off of people. It's almost like solving the case on your own. So it's a pretty good time. I would definitely recommend that for anybody. And I'm trying to catch up on Reaper still. The short-lived CW, was it CW or the WB back then? It's only a few years ago. I can't remember when they made that switch. Anyways, that show about the devil's bounty hunter, some kid's parents sold his soul before he was ever born, attempted not to have a child, had him anyway, and then when he became of age, he became the devil's property, essentially. It's a pretty fun show. Just catching up on Netflix shows and doing that, and then my few regular shows. Like I said, it's a pretty light week for TV news. I think I'm actually going to take a couple of minutes of this segment to move forward into the realm of movies. We got a commercial break coming up in a few minutes here. Afterwards, I'll come back with my review of Captain America. But before then, I just kind of want to talk about Marvel Comics versus DC Comics when the movies come into play, once they get them up on the big screen, and how hard Marvel is just owning DC on this stuff. I don't know, I've always been a Marvel guy anyway, but I'm surprised with the fact that DC Comics is owned by a movie studio anyway. I mean, they've always been owned by Warner Brothers. Marvel Comics has just now, in the last few years, gotten to the fact where they're actually making their own movies, but man, did they come out of the gates firing. Now, clearly, DC had a lot of success with, specifically with The Dark Knight. Batman Begins was a very well-received movie and certainly a box office success, but not in the realms of what A Dark Knight is, clearly. Superman Returns is one of my favorite movies out there. I absolutely adore it. The box office performance was very strong, but is never given credit for that. It's always talked about as a more or less a dud. But the two big movies in the last 5 years, really, that DC's produced, three now with Green Lantern, but The Dark Knight and then Superman Returns back in 06 and 09, respectively, were, you know, again, big movies, but the only one people talk about with any reverence is The Dark Knight, whereas Marvel has pounded out by themselves five movies, not counting other properties, the Spider-Mans and X-Men films that have come out just in that time frame. There was a Punisher movie out there, just, you know, movie after movie that they're just pounding out and crushing on quality. There's some faltering for, you know, some of the properties that Fox owns don't come out so well. Some of the properties that Universal has done have been sort of iffy. Sony owns the Spider-Mans. Two out of three of those were huge hits and well-received. The other one was just a huge hit. But the ones that Marvel actually just produces, and that would be Iron Man, Iron Man 2, The Incredible Hulk, Thor, and now Captain America, all building up towards the Avengers. And every one of these has been pretty much a home run, both with box office and critics. DC, however, has come out with two critically panned films in that time frame, and The Dark Knight. And Batman Begins was, I think, a little bit earlier than Superman Returns. I think Batman Begins would have been 05. We can throw that into the mix, too, if you want. That's fine. People like the Batman movies. People don't so much like all their other properties. And they're not even trying with a bunch of their other stuff. I mean, what happens as soon as Marvel lets loose the reins? They run out with Iron Man, a character nobody realized was all that popular. I mean, when that movie was coming out, I talked to person after person who was very surprised that they were bringing an Iron Man movie out, a character a lot of them had barely heard of if they weren't big comic book fans. And then what happens? You know, they cast Robert Downey Jr. and that thing's an overnight huge success. Because they put the right people in the right place, and they made their movie. Jon Favreau directing, had a lot of pride in the source material, stuck close to its roots, Marvel worked closely with the production, boom, there it is. Green Lantern is a very Iron Man-esque character as far as his place in the DC Universe. People can argue how big Green Lantern's place in the DC Universe is all they want. It's not quite that huge. In the last few years, it's blown up for sure. A lot of big stuff has happened, but I came up on comics through the 90s mostly. Green Lantern was a well-known character, for sure. Was not any more important than any of their other big names that they treat as sides. DC's got Batman and Superman. Those are their heavy hitters. They kind of treat everybody else like a second class, you know, like a sidekick almost. Everybody's got their own books, they've got their own storylines, that's true, but you don't see any kind of marketing build or any kind of importance throughout storyline, creatively or business-wise. You know, they're not pushing Flash down their throats. They try to make Wonder Woman pretty big every once in a while. I think it's just to attract, you know, just not to attract female readers and watchers per se, but just to have that strong female presence in their books. But, you know, she always stalls out. How hard can it possibly be for them to get that movie off the ground? And they even had Joss Whedon attached to it for a while, and they still just wouldn't go. And through his work with Buffy and everything else, I have to assume he was the perfect guy. I have to assume he had perfect ideas, and I have to assume they shot them all down. Because for some reason, DC doesn't take the time and the pride that Marvel does, and that's what ends up killing them. And this is when it comes to movies, and that's what I'm talking about. Obviously, their turn with Batman has been pretty good, but look at that disaster that Green Lantern was. And they had their comics guy working on it, I know. What is that guy, Jeff Johns, is that that guy's name? He's one of the guys who brought Green Lantern into mainstream attention comic-wise, and I know he was helping consult on the film. I have to wonder how much they actually listen to him, or if he just doesn't know anything about movie making. I'm not sure, because again, if you go back and look at that thing, that movie's a disaster through and through. That's all there is to it.
there's just so much in there. And I don't know creatively if they just thought that they had to get it all out in one shot, if they didn't know what they could cut back or cut out or reduce or save for later. But no matter how much love they say went into that movie, the results were just a debacle. You know, it was disastrous. So out of three attempts, you've got one film that's hit critical and commercial success. You've got two that have hit decent money standings. I don't know, Green Lantern lost a lot of money, I'm sure. Superman made plenty of money. And people liked it coming out. I got a sore spot in my heart for that Superman Returns, because I love that movie and people dog it all the time. And I don't understand why. But regardless, made its money, took a lot of griping. Green Lantern didn't make its money, took a lot more griping. You got one undisputed success out of those three movies from DC Comics. Marvel has five in the same time span. Where's the work on a Flash movie? Where's the work on a Justice League movie? They were supposed to produce one 5 or 6 years ago, and they just totally gave up on it. And they would have had it out long before Marvel ever had time to get any of this Avengers stuff going. And what do? They just dropped the ball. They let it go. They turned it off and went and did other projects instead. And they were going to do the reverse of what Marvel was doing. And Marvel was taking a bunch of single movies and using it to build up towards an Avengers flick. DC was going to take a Justice League movie and use it as a launch pad for other individual films. But where's your word on a Flash movie? Where's your word on any kind of Aquaman involvement, on any kind of Wonder Woman involvement in the big screen world? They're just not moving forward with any of this stuff as they should be. And when they do it strictly from a commercial standpoint and try to make it a business venture, and they don't put any of the real thought and pride they need to in it. And if anything, you would think they should have learned from everything that's happening in the comic book movie world and just get a good mix of people who know how to make movies and people who love the comic source material, put them together and let them run with it. But as of yet, still nothing going on there. Marvel's just killing them, and I think that's going to continue for a while. Obviously DC will have its big hits from time to time, but I mean, even if it's next two projects, The Dark Knight Rises and Man of Steel, again, those are the two heavy hitters from DC. And even if those are huge successes, where are they left? They're left with two bigger movies pumping their two already biggest names and nowhere to go with any of their side characters, because they're just not moving anything forward with this stuff. Whereas Marvel already has a lineup of continuation of these characters. Even after the Avengers, there's already an Iron Man 3 lined up. There's already a Thor 2 lined up. I'm sure Captain America 2 will be official any time now, if it isn't already. They're just working it, and they're plowing through DC doing it. So, you know, that's just where it stands. Any of you DC guys out there who want to bitch at me, feel free to email to the Entertainment Center at popculturenetwork.com. Any of you Marvel guys who want to write in and reinforce how right I am about all this stuff, feel free to do the same. Guys, always let me know what you're thinking about the show. It's the best way I can improve what you're listening to, is by hearing your feedback. So make sure to email me often at theentertainmentcenter@popculturenetwork.com. We're going to cut to a little bit more commercial break, we're going to cut to one more commercial break. And when we come back, the much-anticipated review of the much-anticipated movie, Captain America: The First Avenger. Stick with us.
Hi guys, this is Chris Vent here, one half of D-Generation X. Oh no, wait, sorry. Operation Retro Shock with Alan Price. Well, I'm always telling Alan Price to... Nah, never mind. One half of Operation Retro Shock. Twice a month, you'll find an episode exclusively on popculturenetwork.com. We cover all things retro. We've covered the likes of things such as Thundercats. Heck, we've even interviewed Larry Kenny, who was the voice of Lion-O. The likes of Monday Night Wars. Somebody was involved in that. Oh yeah, Chris Jericho. We've interviewed him as well. and some other things as well, like Back to the Future. We've got Batman. We haven't got Master Universe yet, working on it, but some other stuff as well, like Sega specials and Nintendo specials. So why not head over to PopCultureNetwork.com, click on the Operation RetroShock button, or why not even go to the forums and have your say on what you would like to see discussed. We're always open for ideas, and why not live in the past? It's better than living in the now, isn't it? They always say they don't make them like they used to, apart from this show, of course, and the one you're listening to. Enjoy.
What's up, all? This is Sween Hollick from Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, and you're listening to a Primo Pop Culture Network podcast.
Welcome back to the Entertainment Center, everybody. Make sure you go check out a lot of those PopCultureNetwork.com podcasts and videos, reviews, news, and general opinions on all the things you love, comics to video games to toys, toys are the big one, to movies and TV here with the Entertainment Center. Also, make sure you email me often, as I said before the break, theentertainmentcenter@popculturenetwork.com. Drop me some lines, let me know what you're thinking about the show and what you're thinking about the world of entertainment as a whole. Let me know how much you love Captain America, because I am about to let you know how much I love Captain America. Here's our review. Captain America is Marvel Comics' last lead-in to the Avengers, the last single adventure of one of their big properties. Captain America, of course, in the comics recently has made big news by dying several years ago and then being resurrected again, you know, within the last couple of years, just in time for his movie, of course. The story follows Steve Rogers, I don't know if downtrodden is the right word, but he's a sickly little guy. He's scrawny, he's pale, he's got no muscle, he's got asthma and all sorts of health defects. I think he had polio in the original comics, but they didn't really mention that in the movie. It's basically a Chris Evans head CGI'd onto this frail little Benjamin Button-looking body, using the same technology I believe they used for Benjamin Button. And he's just trying to get into the army. All of the men are heading over to World War II to fight the Nazis. Steve wants to do his part, wants to stand up to bullies, but he can't get past any kind of medical exams to get into basic training, so he keeps using fake names and trying for it. Finally, curious happenings, he just happens to fall under the radar of Dr. Erskine, who is leading a medical research project to create super soldiers for the U.S. Army. He becomes their first test subject. It goes off with flying colors, and he becomes the 6'4", or however tall he is, muscle-bound Captain America, right from scrawny to huge in a matter of seconds. I tell you what, they have this little booth they put him in where they douse him with some serum and shoot some light into him to help the growing process, and he pops out ripped as all get out. And I don't know where they got that machine, but if they install it at my local Fit Club, attendance is going to go through the roof. I'll tell you that much. That sucker with instant gratification, just turn around. But in goes CGI'd scrawny Chris Evans. Out comes months and months worth of working out Chris Evans, ready to fight the Nazis and, more importantly, Hydra. And Dr. Erskine's original test subject for the Super Soldier Serum, the Red Skull, who took it in too early of a stage, and instead of becoming an Atlas-like muscle-bound guy, he got horribly disfigured by it, but he still got all the strength. Plus, he was insane to begin with. The Red Skull is played by Hugo Weaving, rather convincingly, very well portrayed character, very menacing. He's just got that cold, calculated German speech about him. He thinks about every word as it's coming out, as if English were his second language. He really puts thought into every syllable to overpronounce. It's slow, but it's calculated, his speech pattern. Just a really good job by Hugo Weaving portraying the Red Skull, I think, and the look of him was awesome. It was fantastic. Anyways, Steve Rogers comes out, becomes Captain America. They were supposed to create an army of super soldiers. He only got one. Tommy Lee Jones is playing the general in charge of the project. He's a little bit too disappointed with the fact that he's only got the one, and the army doesn't know how to make another one due to the assassination of that Dr. Erskine during the process. Hope I'm not spoiling too much, but again, anybody who knows anything about Captain America, you pretty much know the origin story. The movie actually starts off really cool. It starts off modern day, somewhere in Antarctica or the frozen north somewhere. Hell, it might be northern Canada. I don't know. It's really, really cold wherever they are. They're on an excavation there, though. I'm sure it's Antarctica. There's some findings. They call the military in. The military comes in, and they basically cut their way into what looks like this just giant ice cave. They get down there and they start looking around. They find the shield frozen. It flashes back to Norway, 1942. They go into some Red Skull stuff, and then they start doing all the 40s stuff. The world, Joe Johnston, the director of this movie, as well as The Rocketeer, if you'll remember that from the early 90s, which is why I'm so happy that they caught this guy to direct the movie. He puts a very neat visual style to the 40s. It's got that old-school feel, like you're watching one of those old serials, sort of like The Rocketeer or something like that, but not full-fledged. It's still got a disassociation from real life, but it meshes with the worlds that they've set up with all these other Marvel properties that they're bringing together. This doesn't... It feels like it should be the 1940s, but it's a little bit off, and I don't mean that in a bad way, because what it is it feels like it's the 1940s of the world that Iron Man is displayed in. You know, it's our world, but it's a little comic-y. And this is the past of that world. It's just perfectly set up. It's very well done. Anyway, Steve gets drafted to do some USO tours to try to boost bond sales, since he's the only one and they don't think he's going to be effective enough to lead any kind of army into battle. So he's out doing the USO tour where they think he'll be more beneficial to them. They've got this cheesy little costume. He's in there out there selling war bonds. He tries to do the same spiel for the troops that he does from city to city, and the troops out there who were actually fighting and laying their lives down, they just don't buy it. They don't care about him. And then he realizes that he signed up to fight and help these guys, and he's not doing anything. Lo and behold, a bunch of the 107th Regiment, where his good friend Bucky Barnes is enlisted in, comes under, they get taken as POWs. Steve hears about it and decides he's going to take action whether they want him to or not. Mounts a one-man rescue operation with the help of Howard Stark, Tony Stark's father, Tony Stark being Iron Man, of course, and Agent Peggy Carter, who's been helping with the Super Soldier program and working under Tommy Lee Jones's colonel character. They help get him behind enemy lines. He does the big rescue, comes back with a couple of hundred troops safely, and all of a sudden they put him in the battlefield. They give him a very neat, old-school army-looking outfit that still meshes with the color and style of the Captain America outfit. It's a really cool suit. And they send him to take out Hydra, which is the Red Skull's faction. They're basically in the deep science division of the Nazis. So the bad guy in the movie is Nazis, but they really shy away from talking about that for some reason. They just make Hydra the bad guy, and you don't see a lot of swastikas or anything. I'm not really sure why exactly. They sort of feel like they're pretending Nazis weren't really the issue. It's all about Hydra. I kind of expected more of an Indiana Jones-style feel where they just completely make them the bad guys, because they work really well as the bad guys in these movies, but they just stuck it with Hydra. They tell you that Hydra are Nazis, and then they just run with it as Hydra for the rest of the time. Not a complaint. I don't care. It still worked out. They were good bad guys. I just thought it was a little bit weird how they seemed to just kind of be skirting the issue. But regardless, action ensues. There's a lot of jokes in the movie, but it's not like an Iron Man style. There's just a lot of humorous moments like any of these Marvel movies. I mean, they're comic book movies. They're supposed to be fun. They have fun in spades in Captain America. The action is great. The 3D is actually neat. This is one of the post-converts. It wasn't filmed for 3D, and usually that means the 3D sucks and is a waste of money. But they keep it... They don't bog you down with it at any point, so it's not distracting. It's not like they're trying to add a super amount of depth and failing. It just shows up from time to time. And when it does, it's a lot of shield effects. stuff flying off the screen at you. A little bit gimmicky, but really well put together. Very well done. I would actually recommend, I think the $3 extra, if you like the 3D format at all, the $3 extra is a good spend on this one. This is a neat one to see in 3D. I haven't actually seen it in 2D to compare, so I'm hoping, I think I might be seeing it in 2D in a couple of days here. I'm hoping the lighting will maybe be a little bit better, just because those glasses always kind of darken everything. But beyond that, I would definitely recommend giving the 3D a look on this one. And that's a super exciting thing for me to be able to say, because I do like that 3D tech. It's just they waste it on so many movies by not doing it right, and it really drags down the whole format. However, stay for the end of the credits when you go see Captain America. If you haven't seen Captain America, make sure you do go see it. Stay through to the end of the credits, and you will be treated with a very, very short but very, very fun teaser for The Avengers coming May 4th of 2012, and it actually does show some real footage. It doesn't really tell you a lot of the plot. It's mostly just quick cuts. There is a lot of Loki in there, Tom Hiddleston from Thor. So, you know, if he's not the main villain, he at least has a lot to do with it. They do give you quick shots of pretty much everybody. Robert Downey Jr. is in there, Chris Hemsworth. Chris Evans is in a lot at the beginning, and you see some shots of him. There's one shot in particular of Thor standing in front of this table, and Captain America and a couple of the other ones in the background, and they got Steve Rogers in, like, the Captain America get-up, but he doesn't have the mask on. It's just a very cool-looking shot. They do show Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner in there. Again, they don't show any storyline or tell you what he's doing. They just pretty much show you taking his glasses off, but he did make the cut. Also, what's her name? Colby Smulders? I can't remember. The chick who plays Robin on How I Met Your Mother. For some reason, I'm totally blanking on her last name, how to say it. I think it's Smulders, something like that. She is playing Nick Fury's right hand, essentially, a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. You can catch her in a couple of clips in that trailer. It's all really fast cuts, like I said, but it's definitely neat and worth seeing. And hopefully it's a precursor to a much longer teaser that'll come out soon. Something they can throw in front of movies. I would imagine the actual trailer for The Avengers will probably hit somewhere around December area. That's my guess, based on the fact that it's opening next summer. They usually get them out about 6 months early. To start pumping buzz for it. Though buzz has been pumping for this movie for years already, so who knows. So, that's my recap of all the movies of the summer. Captain America is definitely my favorite. I honestly think it might be my favorite comic book movie since the 08 range, if not farther back. Really, really enjoyed this film. Now, I don't want to stamp that with a seal of approval yet. I want to let it settle in for a little while. Sometimes the excitement of getting your hopes up and having them matched is overwhelming. So 6 months from now, maybe I don't like it quite as much as I like some of the others, but I think I will. I really do. I think the summer of 08 was completely remarkable because Iron Man came out of nowhere and was such a huge hit, and The Incredible Hulk was such a wonderful take on that character, in my opinion. And that's one of those twofers where I will never argue that The Incredible Hulk was a better movie than Iron Man. I think I preferred it, though. A lot of that has to do just with the fact that I've always been a big Hulk fan. I read a lot of Hulk and Iron Man and Captain America comics. I probably read Hulk a little bit more than Captain America, and Captain America a lot more than Iron Man, but I had some experience with all of the characters, but Hulk was always my favorite out of that group, so that combined with Ed Norton, I think that's probably my favorite Marvel-produced movie as of yet. But I won't argue with you that Iron Man was the better film, the more critically successful, the more box office successful, and just more overall entertaining, and that's why it did it. Captain America's right up there in that region, I think. I really do. Obviously, it doesn't have the charm of a Robert Downey Jr., because as much charm as it has, no one has the charm of a Robert Downey Jr., but the only thing it's lacking is the almost supernatural presence he brings. Chris Evans is tremendously entertaining. Always is. Big fan of his, and I think he does a great job with his character. And as far as comic book movies go, it is top-notch. it's right up there in my opinion with your Iron Mans or with your original Spider-Man or any of the truly great superhero flicks out there. So if you haven't seen it, definitely go do. If you're on the fence wondering which way to fall towards seeing it. It's definitely not $10 you'll feel was wasted. And see it in theaters. I mean, it's big, it's flashy, it's loud, and it's where it's meant to be. Head out there, definitely. Two big thumbs up or five stars or whatever you want me to cliche it as. Go see Captain America. You're going to love it. As for me, I'm out now. That's my show for the week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Pop Culture Network, for putting us on the air again. Thanks, everybody, for emailing when you do. But keep that up. The more and more, the better. Like I said, guys, seriously, if you got an opinion on anything I'm saying, you write me and you tell me about it, good or bad. And maybe I'll bring it back up on the show and can counterpoint you some more. Maybe I'll just throw a shout out for agreeing with me, anything like that. But the more opinions I get, the better off the show is going to be and the more suited towards your style and what you want to talk about, we can make it. So keep the comments rolling in at theentertainmentcenter@popculturenetwork.com. Next week we'll be back with a review of Cowboys and Aliens, the big opening of the last weekend of July. And maybe we'll talk some more Captain America numbers and maybe some more news will have come out of Comic-Con. We will have to see on all that stuff. Until then, go see Cap. Enjoy whatever else you watch. Keep up with all those great USA shows on the boob tube, and essentially just keep rotting your brain. That's where the entertainment comes from. Have a great week, guys. We'll see you next time.